Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, happy Sunday, and welcome to this edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Tonight's topic, what blood moons are according to your King James Bible, and some astonishing facts about the book of Revelation. Tonight and into tomorrow, the headlines will be waxing poetic about the total lunar eclipse blood moon that is set to begin tonight at 9:29 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's in 28 minutes from right now. Usually, this type of rare event brings out the booksellers like John Hagee, Jonathan Kahn, and Mike Biltz, who either have just made an appearance or are about to make an appearance on the Jim Baker Show to talk about how the blood moon is a prophetic omen of things related to Israel. The only problem is that their blood moon has very little in common with the actual blood moon found in your King James Bible. Joel chapter 2, verse 31. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, not just a red color, before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. On this episode of Rightly Dividing, we are looking at Bible prophecy ripped from the headlines, and we start with what is and what is not a blood moon according to the Bible. The prophet Joel was quite specific about it, mentioning first that the moon will be turned into blood and then lights out before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. John Hagee never wrote a book about that, and neither did anybody else outside of the Bible. There are many things about end times prophecy that everyone knows to be so, except that it's not so when you open the book and you read it for yourself. Tonight on Rightly Dividing, we open our dusty old archaic King James Bibles and we update tomorrow's headlines on the blood moon and some other things as well. We're going to be looking at prophecy and we're going to be looking at things that people commonly believe to be true that are not true at all. And we're going to get our facts and information from the Bible. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, for all these that you've gathered here in the chat room. 100 people already. That's a blessing, Lord. And Father God, bring them in. Bring them in to hear your word. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And Lord, let us lift you up today, not for a sacrifice, but for praise. And Lord, we just thank you for your unspeakable gift. We thank you for paying for our sin, for dying in our place, and for rising again on the third day according to the Scriptures. We thank you, we praise you, and we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Tonight, we're going to have a little bit of fun. This morning, if you were listening this morning, it was a blessing. We went for 2 hours and 10 minutes, and we talked about prayer, and we went over the whole prayer list, as we do every Sunday. And for me and for many of you, it got emotional at times, because there's a lot of hurting people. There's a lot of people who really need a touch from the Lord and who really need their miracle, their real miracle, to show up. And it was really kind of heavy this morning, but heavy in a good way, heavy in a way that the Bible can be heavy sometimes, because it's just real and it's truth and it's real life. And I thank God and I praise God for our Sunday service this morning. But tonight we're going to lighten it up a little bit. We're going to have a little bit of fun tonight. And by fun, I mean we're going to talk about Bible prophecy. If you're saved, if you're born again, if you have the Spirit of God inside you, Well, Bible prophecy is fun. Bible doctrine is fun. If you're saved, the Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, and neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. You got to be saved in order to understand the Bible. Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. Romans 16, 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. That's what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And tonight we're going to be looking at things that I would put in the good words and fair speeches category. You know, in this life, people will disappoint you. In this life, people will let you down. People will stab you in the back. People will abandon you. People will do all sorts of things. But Jesus Christ says that he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He says, my sheep know me, and they hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. All that the Father has given me, none have I lost except the son of perdition. And when you're saved, you are safe in the hands of him who will never, ever leave you. And everything he tells you, pardon the pun, is gospel truth. So tonight, we're going to have a little bit of fun tonight, and we're going to look at some claims that people make, and we're going to compare them to the Bible, and we're going to see if their claims can hold up to, I don't know, a little King James fact-checking. And we're going to be checking in with people like John Hagee, Perry Stone, Jim Baker, Paula White, Kenneth Copeland, who else we got on tap tonight? And we're going to be looking at things that are commonly believed by millions and millions of Christians around the world, and yet they're not true. And I think that's going to be fun. And we're also going to be looking at some astonishing things in the book of Revelation. Like, for example, did you know that Matthew chapter 24 contains all of the six seals, the first six seals from Revelation chapter 6, and it has them in order? Now ask yourself this question. Why does Matthew chapter 24 contain all six seals from Revelation chapter 6, and why are they there in the exact order? Well, we're going to look at that tonight. We're going to look at things like, is the book of Revelation written chronologically? And the answer is yes and no. And I'm going to show you why the book of Revelation is chronological in most of the parts, and in four separate distinct places, it is not chronological. And we're going to be looking at all these things tonight, and we're going to have a little bit of fun while we do it. And remember, we don't attack people. We don't attack people. We point out false doctrine. And doctrine matters. Dr. Ruckman wrote a book called The Death of Bible Doctrine. And the Apostle Paul says that in the last days, 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy, and he says, hey, Tim, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. And tonight we're going to look at some of those fables that are taught as truth, and they are a absolute perversion of Bible doctrine. If you're just tuning in, tonight we're going to be looking at what does the Bible say about blood moons and a whole bunch of other stuff related to end times Bible prophecy. Glad that you're here tonight.
I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Me too. Are you saved? If not, why not? Get saved now.
There is a river of gladness that pours from Emmanuel's veins. The sinner was plunged beneath the flood and God saved. Since then I walk in forgiveness.
Amen. 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 Are you saved? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me, God. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. My buddy Dave, he texted me about 2 hours ago, and he was all excited. Every Sunday he goes and he visits a friend of his. It's an elderly woman who's in a nursing home. She's about 80 years old. And Dave went and brought her the gospel today, and she got saved. Her name is Bonnie, and if you have a prayer list, please put Bonnie on your prayer list. Dave just wants everybody to pray for her. Now that she's saved and she accepted the Lord, that the devil wouldn't come in and start to kick her around. So Bonnie got saved today. My buddy Dave is all excited. He's a great man of God. He's a strong saint. He's a Bible believer just like us. And please pray for Bonnie today. What good, good news that was. Really, really charged me up when he said that. If you get saved in the church age, there's only one way. You get saved by the blood. Good works won't do it.
When man sinned in the garden, that sin Jehovah could not condone, the blood shed of animals could not forever sin atone. But the Son had compassion. He said, Father,
amen, amen.
I'll be your lamb.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
So once again, blood was shed as the soldier nailed his hands. It's been 3 days since heaven watched their Prince of Glory die. His followers are in mourning, for tomb their Savior lies. But at the grave,
amen, amen, is my favorite part.
As it screams, I've lost my hope.
Amen. Here he comes.
And there he comes. And he's got the blood that he shed on Calvary. And the Father says, well done, my son. This is the last blood I'll ever need.
And a little birdie told me that we have a birthday today. Angel is celebrating a birthday. And as is our custom, we'd like to wish you, Angel, a very happy birthday.
It's your birthday.
It's the day that you were born.
Amen.
It's the day your mama brought you home.
Preach it, sister.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. I'm gonna celebrate with you. Have you celebrate. Tell everybody. Come on, y'all. Come on and celebrate. On your birthday. Come on, y'all.
Very happy birthday to Angel. If you're just tuning in tonight, we're talking about the truth behind the blood moon that's going to start in 9 minutes, according to the Weather Bureau. It's a full, total, lunar eclipse, blood moon. And we're going to be looking at blood moons in the Bible. The Bible talks about a blood moon. And we're going to be talking about a lot of different things, a lot of claims that people like to make about what the Bible teaches. And we're going to see if the Bible actually does. We're going to take their claims and we're just going to hold it up to the Bible. And we're going to have a little bit of fun tonight. Glad you're here.
Sunsets and each peaceful stream, for every little songbird you send my way to sing. And in my barren desert where nothing else grows, even in the valley you still give me a rose. You still give me a rose. Lord, thank you for the roses you place in my life, for the old-fashioned preacher who carried the light. Holy Spirit that I feel down in my soul, and that's worth more to me than every other rose, than every other rose. Lord, thank you for the roses you place in my life, for the old-fashioned preacher who carried the light, for peace and contentment in a world so filled with strife. Lord, thank you for the roses.
Amen. Thank you,
Lord. Place in my life.
In Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what you can't do when you get saved? No matter how hard you try, you can't go to hell. Amen. Where are you going? Heaven or hell?
In sin I was living, no thought was I giving of dying, and where I would go. I was looking and buying, so hard was I trying to gain all this world had to hold. No peace and no pleasure could I even measure with all that I had to gain. I repented and prayed, Christ save me that day. Now I have got something to say. I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven.
How about you?
Set free, all is well.
Are you saved?
I'm not going to hell.
If not, why not? Amen. Today is the day of salvation. What are you waiting for?
Now my life's worth living. Since I've been forgiven, Christ made a real change in me. I'm no longer crying when I think about dying, 'cause heaven is waiting for me. Now Satan's still lying. He's always trying to lead you down the wrong way. Just call on Christ's name, he'll save you today. Then look back to Satan and say,
amen.
I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No,
thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
Because
I'm saved.
Amen.
By His power divine.
Yes, I'm saved.
I'm saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete. For
saved.
And I'm not going
amen.
To hell.
And how do you get saved? Like this.
Yeah.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we commit tonight's Bible study to you. Landon Chan from the Philippines says, please pray for my Aunt Christina. She's been bedridden for a year due to a stroke. And please pray for the aunts of my friend Eric. They are both cancer patients and one of them got it after taking the booster shot. This is me, Chona, from the Philippines. Thanks so much, brethren. Amen. Dina, asking for prayers for my son Josh, heroin addict living on the street in the DFW, needs a miracle from the Lord. Amen. We're going to pray for a miracle tonight. Praise report from Donna Lynn. Last night, Dean is a little better and not so frustrated. Swim Jax from the UK says, I would love to go on the prayer list for my adult children, Holly and Ollie, to be saved. Amen. We'll be happy to put them on the list. Regina Danner, my prayer request for tonight is my two sons and granddaughter to finally come to salvation. They are so focused on this world and what it offers. Please pray for Bonnie, 80 years old and living in a nursing home, ministered to by my friend Dave, and she accepted Christ today, and she had a wonderful emotional response, and she was just overwhelmed. And she's in a nursing home, and we're going to pray for her tonight for prayers for comfort and for protection, spiritual protection. She's in a very nice nursing home. They're taking really good care of her. But we're talking about spiritual protection tonight. Jeanette from Wisconsin, praise report. The Lord has answered my prayer. Thanks to all who prayed, I am doing better and I give God the glory. That's the way to do it. Amen. Amen. I think that was all the... If I'm missing anything, please let me know. But I think that was all of it. Heavenly Father... Also, we are still praying for my friend Annetta. Day three of being in the hospital with a very, very serious stroke, a hemorrhagic stroke in the right side of her brain. And she has no movement on her left side, but she's starting to breathe on her own. She ate some applesauce the other day, and she's making progress slowly, but she's making progress. Please remember my friend Annetta on your prayer list, please. Also, please keep John Henry in your prayers, Dennis Giacomino, and Bonnie Chadwell's cousin Doug. They're all battling prostate cancer, as is Jerry Rogalski. He's battling cancer as well, and his wife sent me a very nice note the other day and said, please, 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 keep Jerry on the list, and we will be happy to do that. That's why we're here. We're here to lift each other up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for all these that you've gathered here. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to show us your miracle-working power, not because we don't believe, and not even because we want to see a sign, because we're not looking for a sign. We just like to watch you work, Lord. It's just so thrilling and exciting to see you order and reorder the steps of everything, to see you get involved in a situation and work something out, work something through. and you drop down these little handfuls of purpose, just like you gave Ruth those handfuls of barley gleanings. And it turned out to be very, very valuable. On the other end of those gleanings was Boaz. And Lord, we thank you for the Boazes in our lives. We thank you for the barley. We thank you for the handfuls of purpose, Lord. And we ask you to get into our prayer list, Lord, and hear these requests and answer them for your glory and for our good. And Lord, if you don't do it, God, it's not going to get done. And when you said to the apostles, will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered and said, to where will we go, Lord? You have the words to eternal life. And there's no other place to go. There's no other game in town. And God, you are the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And we put it all on you, Lord, and ask you to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And we commit this time to you. We commit these prayers to you. We thank you for Angel's birthday. We thank you for the progress Annette is making. We thank you, Lord, for all these praise reports that we had this morning, that we have tonight. And just continue, Lord, to be pleased to meet with us and continue to conform us to the image of your dear Son, in whose name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Andrew has an unspoken prayer. Lori Ann has an unspoken prayer, and pretty soon it's going to be a spoken prayer. But keep Lori Ann and her family in your prayers. And Andrew, he has an unspoken prayer. And Lord, we just commit all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, open your Bibles, please. Open your Bibles. And I told you we're going to have a little bit of fun tonight. And let's turn to Joel chapter 2. Wait, no, don't go there yet. Hold on just one second. Turn to Amos chapter 3. Turn to Amos chapter 3 as we start out with this clip from Perry Stone on the Jim Baker Show.
The revelation of God, and I want to say this, I'm amazed. I have been in ministry now 46 years full time. Sometimes I will sit and my staff will tell you what I do all day. This is no exaggeration.
I want you to listen to what he's about to say. It's really kind of creepy and it's really kind of weird, but we'll talk about it. Listen to what Perry Stone's about to tell you.
I don't get in the car and drive around. I don't even go out in town and eat lunch. Very rarely. My wife will say, Perry, let's go to lunch. And I say, baby, if you're going, I'm going. But she's very busy too. I stay in one office that has three security codes to even get to it. And I stay up there all day. My sister, Diane, is my personal assistant. She's a female, and she don't even have access to get through my main door. I have to let her in. My own sister. Okay?
Yeah.
I do, but I stay, they know, behind a desk all day from the time I get here. The only break I get is taping with people like you or door.
So does anybody want to ask the question, why does Perry Stone feel that his office has to be behind three separate layers of security? Does he live in a bad neighborhood? Does he live in a high crime district? I don't think he does. I think he lives in a very nice neighborhood. Why is Perry Stone putting his office behind triple layers of security that even his own sister doesn't have access to?
When manifest YouTube television program, but I stay. And this is what I do. I see what God is saying. I'm not bragging on that, but I'm letting people know that you might think that you have tapped into everything God has to reveal prophetically, everything God has to reveal practically. You may listen to preaching on YouTube, or you may listen to Christian television all day long. But I want to tell you something. Daniel said in the latter part of the book of Daniel, that many would run to and fro. This is the last days. Many would run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Yeah. There will come the greatest revelation of understanding all of the prophecies of the Bible, with probably in the next 12 to 24 months that we have ever seen in our history, in the history of Christianity.
Oh, I believe that.
It's going to happen, Jim.
Wow. Amen.
Visions. People are going to have visions. I'm not talking about some fruitcake vision, fruits and nuts. I'm talking about real visions.
Yeah. Right.
They're going to have real dreams. You're going to find five people over here have seen the same thing. 12 people over here have seen the same thing. Because God does nothing, this is the Bible, unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. And that means that's people who are called in this realm of the prophetic teaching, preaching, and the realm of prophecy in 1 Corinthians chapter 4.
All right, so we'll just stop Perry Stone right there. Amos chapter 3. And he was talking about verse 7, Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Amos talking in the Old Testament, talking about the prophets like Jeremiah, Isaiah, Amos, Ezekiel, Habakkuk, Nahum, all these different Old Testament prophets. And he is not talking about revealing multiple secrets. He's talking about revealing his particular secret. And if you turn to Isaiah chapter 28, I'll show you what that particular secret is. You know, the whole Bible, the main theme of the whole Bible, it's the coming king and it's the coming kingdom. The main theme of the Bible is not salvation, it's not the cross, it's not Calvary. The main theme of the Bible is the coming king and the coming kingdom. In Isaiah chapter 28, he's one of those prophets that Amos said that God will do nothing but reveal his secret to his servants, the prophets. Perry Stone is not a prophet. Nice try, Perry. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 21. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Would you like to know what God's secret is? Would you like to know what God's strange work and what his strange act is? Look up in verse 14, Isaiah 28, 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. This is a time of Jacob's trouble. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. When Amos is talking about God's secret, and Isaiah is talking about God's strange act and strange work, it's the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. It's the start of the Great Tribulation. It's the Jews hiding in Sela Petra. It's Antichrist overrunning Jerusalem in Luke 21. It's the woman fleeing to the Red Rock city of Sela Petra. It's the return of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's the Battle of Armageddon. And it's the start of his thousand-year reign of perfect righteousness. That's what his secret is. That's what his strange act and his strange work actually is. And you and I know all about it because God revealed it to his servants, the prophets. And we read it and we believe it. Turn to Daniel chapter 9. You know that Daniel was a prophet, but guess what? Even prophets have to read the writings of other prophets to learn what God's full revelation actually is. I'll say that again. Even God's prophets had to read the revelations of other prophets to know what the full revelation of God actually is. Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seeds of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books, he was reading a book, the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. That's Jeremiah 29, verses 9 and 10. And Daniel says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." We talked about these verses this morning. But in the Bible, even God's prophets had to inquire from some of God's other prophets. And here you have in Daniel 9, 2, Daniel's doing a Bible study with the scroll of Jeremiah, and the Holy Spirit gives him wisdom and insight. And then all of a sudden, Daniel knows what's going to happen. Daniel knows why the Jews are in Babylon and why Nebuchadnezzar was allowed to capture the Jewish people. And Daniel learns all of this by reading the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Bible study. And then, because Daniel was a prophet, when you look down further in Daniel chapter 9, because Daniel was a prophet, look at what happens starting in verse 20. Daniel 9:20. "And whiles I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee. For thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision." You see what happened to Daniel? Daniel starts out by studying the book of Jeremiah. He gives himself a little Bible study. Maybe he was doing that Bible study with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. I don't know. But I know that Daniel in Daniel 9:2 was doing Bible study, just like we're doing Bible study right now. But Daniel was a prophet. I am not a prophet. You are not a prophet. Perry Stone is not a prophet. Jim Baker is not a prophet. Mike Murdoch is not a prophet. Kenneth Copeland, Paula White, Kenneth Hagin, Benny Hinn. None of these guys are prophets. So when we hear Perry Stone talking about he's trying to claim Amos 3:7, and he comes with his false vision that in 12 to 24 months, the most Bible prophecy that we've ever seen fulfilled is going to take place. What, the last 24 months wasn't good enough for you? The rise of the New World Order, the rise of the spirit of Antichrist, global lockdowns, preparation for the New World Order, the rise of Chrislam, the one world religion. What are you waiting for? I'm waiting for the rapture is what I'm waiting for. The last 24 months have been filled to overflowing with prophetic events and the fulfillment of Bible prophecy and moving the timeline so much closer to midnight. And yet Perry Stone, trying to steal Amos 3:7, wants you to believe that some unnamed prophetic revelations going to unfold in 12 to 24 months? I don't think so. So Daniel was a prophet. Daniel still had to do Bible study. Isn't that an amazing thing? Daniel was a prophet, but Daniel still had to do Bible study. Perry Stone and his father, Fred, they believe in necromancy. That's his talking to dead people. Take a listen to Perry Stone and Fred Stone recalling a visit by the ghost of his friend, Al Collins.
It's a joy to have you with me today on Manifest, but it's even a greater joy to have for a second program, my father, Fred Stone. Now, this is an eight-week series that we have been running in which we've been talking about the supernatural things of God, especially angels, angelic protection, and this type of subject matter. Dad, it's good to have you.
So, Perry Stone just told you that they're doing an eight-week series. This is a couple years ago. Perry Stone and his father, Fred Stone, were working on an eight-week series on angels, angelic protection, things happening in the supernatural realm. And listen to what his father, Fred Stone, says about a visit from a ghost.
Be with me again today. I want you to know that. And folks really, really love when you're on the program. In fact, they've said we'd rather hear your dad than you.
No, don't do that.
Hey, man. Hey, I would rather hear you than me a lot of times, too, to tell you the truth. Because you've got just wisdom that has come with your... how many years have you been in ministry now?
This will be 59 years.
59 years. Okay, now you...
All right, so Perry Stone's father, Fred Stone, says that he has been in ministry at this time for 59 years. That's a long time. That's twice as long as I've been saved. Let's hear some of the wisdom that Fred Stone got in 59 years of ministry.
By the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb God.
Sorry, I hit
joy
the wrong
to have
one.
You with me today on Manifest, but it's even a greater joy to have for a second program, my father, Fred Stone. Now, this is an eight-week series that we have been running in which we've been talking about the supernatural things of God, especially angels, angelic protection, and this type of subject matter. Dad, it's good to have you with me again today. I want you to know that. And folks really, really love when you're on the program. In fact, they've said we'd rather hear your dad than you.
No, don't do that.
Hey, man. Hey, I would rather hear you than me a lot of times, too, to tell you the truth. Because you've got just wisdom that has come with your... how many years have you been in ministry now?
This will be 59 years.
59 years. Okay, now, you know, you're going to gain wisdom. Now, what happened when you were called to preach now? I want to go to
well,
that.
Well, that's when I was there at this little cabin, Barry, that I had, me and my dad had built. Dad had helped me in West Virginia up in a lease area for Island Creek Coal Company. And I was up there praying and seeking the face of God. And Al Collins, while I was praying, I heard footsteps. It was in the fall, and there was leaves about 4, 5, 6 inches high. And I heard 2 or 3 steps behind the cabin. I'm sitting just like I am now. And I turned and looked around and bent my head like this. And before I could see anybody, a hand reached through the right hand of a man, reached through the side of the cabin and touched me on the head. And I thought it was an angel of the Lord. But actually, the spirit man of Al Collins had touched me, you know what I mean, and spoke to me about what God wanted me to know, and that the Lord wanted me to know this and that and the other. And of course, I was so overcome by the Spirit that it probably took me an hour after this experience for it to just kind of wear off. You know, Perry, supernatural experiences with God usually stay with people forever.
Mm-hmm.
They stay with you all your life. Now, they're not as fresh and they're not as great upon your spirit man as they were for the first 2 or 3 years or something,
mm-hmm.
but they'll be there forever.
I remember when you told, I mean, I've heard you tell that for years about how that you actually, when that hand touched you, you collapsed and thought you had a heart attack and came out of your body.
Yeah.
Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 12, whether in the body or out of the body, mm-hmm. I cannot tell God no,
uh-huh.
such a one was I caught up into the third heaven. And so there are experiences where it's either a vision or it actually is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And you went out like being sucked out into the universe somewhere where you ended up where it was a beautiful sapphire, beautiful sapphire blue. And you described what happened there. You said that you saw a ball of light that looked like the size of a silver dollar.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
And Al stepped out of that and pointed his finger at you, right?
It was moving, Perry. It was so far in the universe I couldn't estimate how far it was. And it was moving with the speed of like a lightning bolt.
So Al Collins was a friend of Fred Stone who had died. And he came back and supernaturally took Fred Stone out of his body and out beyond the universe to a place where he saw a glowing blue sapphire light. This is how Fred Stone got called to the ministry, by the ghost of his dead friend appearing to him and taking him out of his body and dragging him out through the universe to give him this message from God. This is the prophecy that Perry Stone is talking about on the Jim Baker program. Now, obviously, if you've read the Bible for more than 5 minutes, you know that that is complete and total nonsense. King Saul went to the witch at Endor because he needed to talk with the prophet Samuel, and somebody came up from the bottom and somebody spoke to King Saul, and next day King Saul was killed in battle. If you're trying to make contact with people who have died, demons will be more than happy. They'll be thrilled, actually, to pretend to be your loved ones and your friends and your family. There's no coming back outside of the Bible. The Apostle John came back. The Apostle Paul came back. Those are very unique and isolated situations. It is not a repeatable experience. So I wanted to set the table tonight. We're going to be looking at claims that people make, and then we're going to be comparing them to what the Bible actually says. When we get back from this break, we're going to be looking at what a blood moon is, according to the Bible. And we're going to look at what, according to the various false preachers and teachers, what they want you to believe that a blood moon is. And we'll be right back after this.
I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbye. Time won't matter anymore.
Back on July 22nd of 2018, we published this article. Sorry, Paul Begley, but the blood moon that will be appearing in the skies on July 27th has no connection with any Bible prophecy. And I wrote, the latest member to board the Biblical Illiteracy Club is post-toasty false teacher Paul Begley. He has made a video breathlessly warning about the upcoming blood moon and myriad apocalyptic signs that will be attached to it. But rest easy, Christian. Begley's prophecy, along with those of failed predictors like Irwin Baxter, Stephen Fletcher, John Hagee, Mark Biltz, David Mead in 2017, David Mead in 2018, and all of the others will come to naught. And we published that article 5 days before Paul Begley's July 27th prophecy. And I didn't lose a minute's sleep wondering if his prophecy was actually going to come true. I knew that it would not come true. How did I know that? Am I a psychic? No. Am I a prophet? No. So how did I know that Paul Begley's prophecy of the blood moon prophecy on July 27th of 2018, how could I be so confident and write an article 5-6 days before saying that it would never, ever happen? How could I be that confident? Well, very simply, because I have a King James Bible and I read it and I believe what it says. And then I listened to Paul Begley's prophecy, just like with John Hagee. John Hagee wrote a book back in 2015 about the Tetrad, and everybody got all excited about the four blood moons all happening one right after the other. Take a listen to this. John Hagee on the final blood moon as a divine warning. This is 7 years ago in 2015.
The Iran nuclear deal, an Israeli war with Hamas, and the rise of ISIS. All of these world-altering events have taken place since Passover of last year. That's when the first in a series of four blood moons appeared in the sky. We're now approaching the last of these blood moons. And as Eric Stackelbeck reports, some believe it could be a signal that God is getting ready to move on the world stage.
It's called a tetrad. Four total lunar eclipses appearing in close succession just a few months apart and turning the moon into an eerie blood red color. These tetrads have been a rare occurrence throughout history, yet we are now in the midst of one. It began in April 2014 on the Jewish holiday of Passover when the first blood moon appeared. Soon we'll see the final blood moon on September 28th during the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles.
The final blood moon comes as a nuclear deal with the Iranian regime is being finalized, a deal that could lead to a Middle East war.
The day America turns its back on Israel will be the day God turns his back on America. And the day we validate this Iran nuclear deal as signed, sealed, and delivered will be the day we stick our finger in the eye of God.
Pastor John Hagee is author of the best-selling book Four Blood Moons and appears in a recent film of the same name. Hagee believes the current tetrad of blood moons is a sign from God to the world that something major is about to happen involving Israel, with Iran's drive towards a nuclear weapon being a possible trigger.
President Obama says...
So we'll just stop that clip right there. That was 2015. John Hagee wrote a book about the four blood moons. Everybody got all excited. Turn to Joel chapter 2, please. Turn to Joel chapter 2. And let's take a look at these. Well, there's only one. There's not four of them. That doesn't appear in the Bible anywhere, just so that you know. But in Joel chapter 2, Joel is giving you an end times prophecy. And it's a prophecy related to the time of Jacob's trouble. It's a prophecy related to the Great Tribulation. It's a prophecy related to the Second Coming. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. This is what Perry Stone was claiming in that first clip when he was on the Jim Baker show. But this is talking about the time of Jacob's trouble. This is talking about the time of the Great Tribulation. This is not church age. In verse 29 of Joel chapter 2, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit. Verse 30 says, and I will show wonders in the heaven and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Now, if you can read English at approximately the sixth grade level, which is the reading comprehension level of the King James Bible, is roughly sixth grade level. The sun shall be turned into darkness. What does that mean? It means that the light is going to go out. And the moon into blood. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that it's going to turn an orangey-red color. That's not what Joel is saying. The prophet Joel is saying that the light of the sun is going to extinguish itself. It is going to turn itself off. And the moon, which reflects the light of the sun, is going to turn into blood. That's what it says. Turn to Revelation chapter 16. Now, why would the prophet Joel say that the moon is going to turn into blood? How is that even possible? Well, this is the Great Tribulation that we're talking about. This is the time period where the seven seals and the bowls and the vials and the trumpets are all going to be firing one after the other. And there's going to be signs in the moon and signs in the stars and men's hearts failing them for fear for looking upon the things which shall come upon the earth. That's this time period. It's not church age. You can't have a church age mindset. You can't have a grace age mindset. You can't have a we walk by faith and not by sight mindset and imagine what the tribulation is going to be like. Look at what it says in Revelation 16, starting in verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. This is the physical thing that's taking place. It is literal. It is visible. It's supernatural. But it's literal and visible. Revelation 16:2, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. Literal, actual blood. And I heard, verse 5, I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. You want to know why the blood's being poured out? You want to know why the moon is turning into blood? For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Do you realize what's happening in the tribulation? The rivers, the streams, the oceans, the drinking water, It's all turning into blood. The moon is turning into blood. And why? For all of the people whose blood was shed. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Do you see why this has nothing to do with the moon turning an orangey red color in the church age? Can you see how ridiculous that is? It should make you mad. Revelation chapter 17, verse 6. Well, verse 5, Revelation 17, 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. This is the Roman Catholic Church. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. So during the time of the Great Tribulation, it's going to be blood everywhere. It's going to be supernatural phenomenon that is happening literally, visibly, and physically. It is going to be the most horrific time in human history, bar none. You know what Jesus says in Matthew 24? Matthew 24, verse 21, For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, Isaiah 45, talking about Israel, those days shall be shortened. So when you think about the Great Tribulation and you think about the amount of blood that is going to be taking place, and when Joel says that the actual moon itself is going to turn into blood, not simply a red-orange color, now you're starting to get the idea of what the Great Tribulation is going to be all about. And now you see how ridiculous that it is when people like Jim Baker want to sell you survival food and he wants to sell you a cabin up in the mountains in the Ozarks so that you can go and hide there during the apocalypse. Where do you think you're going to hide? I mean, that is such a ridiculous statement to make. The only type of people who would talk like that would be people who have no idea what the Bible actually teaches. If you think that you can hide during the apocalypse, you're an idiot. It is not possible. It is absolutely not possible. The Bible says this in Revelation 16. Revelation 16. Let's start reading in verse 12, and we're going to go all the way down to 17. Revelation 12 through 17. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Here you have Jim Baker, and he's selling you a cabin in the Ozarks so that you can buy his survival food and you can hide from the apocalypse. Or how about the billionaires who are building these underground bunkers because they're going to hide themselves, right? That's what it says in Revelation 16:15. Where do you think these people get this idea from? And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bond man and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Let's see how this works out. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, you think you're going to get your little survival food? What, you're going to be a prepper? Now, there's nothing wrong with prepping. I mean, we have an economy right now that is so bad, prepping is actually a really good idea for the economy and for recessions and depressions. Prepping is a fantastic idea. But if you think that your prepping is going to prepare you for the apocalypse, that's just a ridiculous idea. So, John Hagee, he wrote a book 7 years ago, made millions of dollars. And everything he said was either half true, partially true, or completely not true. John Hagee's not even talking about the blood moon tonight. Because there's nothing to it. You know what John Hagee said about Jesus Christ back in 2010? John Hagee said that Jesus did not come to be the Messiah. Jesus did not come to be put on a cross and to pay our price. Now, you might say to me, there's no way that John Hagee ever said that Jesus was not the Messiah. You want to bet? Here it is.
I'm delighted to present my latest book, In Defense of Israel. This book will expose the sins of the fathers and the vicious abuse of the Jewish people. In Defense of Israel will shape Christian theology. It scripturally proves that the Jewish people as a whole did not reject Jesus as Messiah. It will also prove that Jesus did not come to earth to be the Messiah. It will prove that there was a Calvary conspiracy between Rome, the high priest, and Herod to execute Jesus as an insurrectionist too dangerous to live. Since Jesus refused by word and deed to claim to be the Messiah, how can the Jews be blamed for rejecting what was never offered? Read it in this shocking expose in defense of Israel.
This latest book by Pastor John Hagee is destined to generate lively discussions among Christians the world over. It's available in most U.S. bookstores, or call the number on the screen and order your copy today. Call now or visit our website. Ask for.
So that's John Hagee back from 2010. And he was saying that Jesus did not come to be the Messiah. You heard him say it with his own words, with his own voice. John 4:22 says, ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. That's what the Bible says. John Hagee said that Jesus did not come to be the Messiah. You want to bet? John chapter 4. You know this story. John 4:7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom now thou hast is not thy husband, and that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour is cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I said all that to say this. I wanted to give you the whole context. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. John 4:26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. John Hagee just said that Jesus did not come to be the Messiah, and the Jews could not be blamed for not understanding that he was the Messiah, because Jesus never said he was the Messiah. I guess John Hagee never read John chapter 4, and he certainly never read verse 26. Did Jesus claim to be the Messiah? Absolutely. Did Jesus claim to be God? Absolutely. But you can only know these things if you read your Bible and believe your Bible. Anytime you see people on the Jim Baker show, you know that they're up to no good. Take a listen to this. Jim Baker's Magnificent Miracle Blanket.
Yeah, these precious friends.
They came to our house. They come and minister to us and all.
Yes.
And they're unbelievable people.
Yes.
And they love you so much.
They love you too.
I'm forever God. And so they brought us a gift.
They did.
And Nana, we have a picture of them bringing this blanket.
Yes.
There it is. By
oh, there it is.
Right
there.
There.
Tell us about that.
Leland, Jenny.
Yeah, it was so cool. They heard you on TV going, I need a miracle. I need a miracle. And
That's
all she could think about is miracles happen, which
That's
is a slogan for the ministry.
Yes.
And it's like, she's got to come by and get them a blanket.
And she did.
And so, and there they are. There's Leland and
Jenny. That's right. Leland and Jenny. And oh, they're so
beautiful amazing. Blanket.
And they're so anointed. They're prayed over.
They are. That's what Jenny said. She said, Lori, she said, this blanket has been prayed over Amen. By Joan's team, by Joan. They pray over every single one of these blankets.
Thank you for sending that to us through
yes.
them.
Yes.
That
yes.
was so kind of you.
It was so, and I have literally thousands and thousands of testimonies of people that like couldn't come to the meeting, and the people would buy them and take it home to their sick relative.
Yeah.
And like we have, and you know, blanket. People even coming here to get their blanket, to take it to people who couldn't physically get here today.
Look what the two...
Leland Jenny?
Yeah, what they did. Then they laid the blanket on me.
That's right.
And
there we go. Lay it on you right now. Cover him up with that blanket and pray over him.
There in my bed, they covered me with the miracle. And it was just an act.
We just had a moment of prayer.
What is this, Joan? It's sort of like an act.
Well, that's all I can take of the Jim Baker Magnificent Miracle Blanket. But you get the idea. You're starting to see that these people are not really teaching you Bible prophecy. Perry Stone is not really teaching you the Bible. Jim Baker is not teaching you the Bible. John Hagee is not teaching you the Bible. They're giving you a little bit of Bible misapplied, and they're giving you the sales pitch is what they're doing. It's all marketing is what it is. There's no Bible teaching. When we come back, we're going to look at what happened. We're still talking about that blood moon. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about the blood moon in the Bible and how it stacks up with the phony blood moon of the charismatic movement. And when we come back, we're going to be in Acts chapter 2. Peter, he was talking about the prophecies of the prophet Joel, and he said in Acts chapter 2 they were starting to come to pass, but they never came to a conclusion. When we come back, I'm going to show you exactly why the strange Acts chapter 2 doomsday prophecy of Peter never actually happened when we come back. For the last half hour of tonight's Bible study, and we're looking at the real blood moon that the Bible talks about. Right before the break, we were talking about Jim Baker and his magnificent miracle blanket. And they made all sorts of crazy, incredible claims that if you make a cash donation, they're going to send you this blanket that says, miracles happen. Well, guess what? I have a miracle blanket. You can't buy it, though. I only have one of them. It was made for me by a dear sister back in 2020. And I keep this miracle blanket in my studio. During the wintertime, I'll have it wrapped around my legs because it gets cold here in Florida in the wintertime. What does my miracle blanket look like? Well, I just put it into the chat room if you want to see what my miracle blanket looks like. I love my miracle blanket. And every time that I look at it, every time I put it on, every time I use my miracle blanket, it reminds me. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Someone made me a blanket showing Flight 777 taking off. And I look at that blanket every day. And to me, that's a miracle blanket. Absolutely a miracle blanket. All right. Let's talk about the strange, unfulfilled doomsday prophecy of the Apostle Peter that's found in Acts chapter 2. We started out talking about Joel chapter 2 with the sun going dark and the moon turning to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord cometh. Acts chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. This is the start of the church. Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, 15 through 17. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Why was the Apostle Peter saying that the end times prophecies of the prophet Joel was taking place in Acts chapter 2? Well, the reason why the Apostle Peter said that is because Joel was starting to come true. In Acts chapter 2, verses 18 through 21, he quotes that prophecy about the blood moon. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. This is Peter. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, Peter said, quoting Joel, and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, to me, that's truly amazing. The Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2 is telling the crowds that had gathered that what the prophet Joel had prophesied about the battle of Armageddon and the second coming was coming true in Acts chapter 2. Now, if that had continued to happen, there would have been no church age. There would have been no Apostle Paul. No Gentiles getting saved. None of that. Let that thought sink in for just a moment. So if Peter was saying that Joel's prophecy was coming true, and obviously it didn't happen, what stopped it? Well, it stopped in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Peter's doomsday prophecy, it all came to a crashing halt when the Jewish people rejected the preaching of Stephen, When the Holy Spirit spoke through Stephen, God was giving his people one more chance to get it right. They rejected God the Father in the Old Testament, and that got them 400 years of silence from Malachi to Matthew. They rejected Jesus Christ in the Gospels, and that resulted in the cross and the empty tomb. And now here in Acts chapter 7, God gives them one last chance to accept the witness of the Holy Spirit through Stephen. Stephen preaches his heart out, and he lets it fly with both barrels. This is some of the best preaching found anywhere in the Bible. At the end of it, in accordance with Peter declaring Joel's prophecy to be coming true in Acts chapter 2, we see Jesus standing up and ready to return to the earth. This is the end. And here he comes. Acts chapter 7, verses 55 and 56. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. This is it. This is the second coming. This is what Joel prophesied. But it was not to be. Why not? Because the Jews did not receive the preaching of Stephen. In fact, the Bible records that they beat him to death with rocks. What was the result? Stephen died, the window in heaven closed, and Jesus sat back down. Joel's prophecy from Joel chapter 2 would be postponed for 2,000 more years. In Acts chapter 8, the first Gentile got saved with the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip, and in Acts chapter 9, Saul gets knocked off his horse and gets commissioned by Jesus himself to be the leader of what the church would fully transition into. A church made up of both Jews and Gentiles in one body. Peter never saw it coming, and Paul called it a mystery. Mike is asking, didn't they have another chance with Paul before he went to the Gentiles? I don't believe so. I believe that when Saul was commissioned in Acts chapter 9, this is two chapters after Jesus sat back down and the window in heaven closed. I do not believe that Paul was offering them one more chance. I believe at the end of Acts chapter 7, that's it. And the kingdom of heaven is deferred for a minimum of 2,000 years. And that brings us to exactly where we are today. So that's why the apostle Peter was quoting the prophet Joel in Acts chapter 2. Because those things were getting ready to come to pass. But then the events of Acts chapter 7 put that on hold. So we can clearly see that there is a huge difference between what people claim and what the Bible actually teaches. Take a listen to a pastor by the name of Mark Biltz. He is a Hebrew roots guy. Some of you know what that is. Some of you don't know what Hebrew roots is. And Hebrew roots is I call it a cult. And it's not really Judaism. It's definitely not Christianity. It's kind of like a bastard hybrid between the two. And here's Pastor Mark Biltz on the Jim Baker Show. Take a listen.
Can you help us some more about the Antichrist? I don't want to jump over there, but
no, that's
but fine. What would he look like? What? Yeah, just from your clues, you're like a detective.
Yeah, what are you
the are. Clues, the Excellent. Antichrist clues that we should look for, because
he's not going to come with.
So here you have Jim Baker, and he's turning to false teacher Mark Biltz, and he's asking Mark Biltz Can you tell us about the coming Antichrist? Well, you could go to the book of Zechariah. You could go to the book of Isaiah. You could go to Revelation, specifically Revelation 13, Revelation chapter 6. Let's see where Mark Biltz goes to in the Bible to answer Jim Baker's question.
With horns and a pitchfork.
He's probably going to have a great personality, probably.
That's going to be with AI, too? Is it going to be like a
human cyborg, someone who has all of these implants and it makes him so intelligent and wise, but the deception is going to be, you want to know what he's going to be like, okay? Well, this is why the deception is going to be so strong. Everyone's going to look for a Solomon, someone who is wealthy, someone who is famous, someone who is wise, someone who has all this power. And people are going to say, let him solve the problems in the Middle East, you know, and let him solve all of the world's problems. I think it's going to be someone who is very popular and easily going to be able to sway the masses, which is why we have to be so careful.
So how come Mark Biltz hasn't used a single Bible verse? Jim Baker asked a fair question. Can you tell us about the Antichrist? Well, Mark Biltz, instead of giving his opinion, he could have said this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That would have been a good place to go. How about Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2? And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Well, how about the Old Testament? How about going to the book of Daniel? And let's see if we can find a description of the Antichrist. Daniel 11:20. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. But he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood, Daniel 9, shall they be overflown from before him and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. How come Mark Biltz didn't use any of these verses? How about this? Daniel 11:36. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God with whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and precious stones. Those are the things you get at the judgment seat of Christ, given to the devil, and pleasant things. How about Zechariah? Are you starting to see what I'm talking about? How about Zechariah chapter 8? How about, I think it's Zechariah chapter 8, where it talks about the Antichrist and his right arm and right eye is clean dried up. I'm sorry, Zechariah 11. Zechariah 11 verses 16 and 17. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, Neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat, and tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock! The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. I'll give you one more. Revelation chapter 13. And I don't have any of this written down. I'm just going from memory. Things that I know to be true about the Antichrist. How about this? Revelation 13:1. Here's a description. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like unto the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. How come Mark Biltz on the Jim Baker show, he doesn't give a single Bible verse? Jim Baker just said, tell us what the Antichrist will be like. I just rattled off half a dozen verses that I just had in the back of my head. I didn't dig deep at all. The Bible absolutely shows you what the Antichrist looks like, what he sounds like, what he acts like. The Bible even tells you, if you want to get deep about it, the Bible even tells you who the Antichrist is. But Mark Biltz doesn't know who the Antichrist is. Jim Baker doesn't know who the Antichrist is. Neither does Paula White or Kenneth Copeland or Benny Hinn. None of them know who the Antichrist is, but if you read and believe your King James Bible, you know exactly who the Antichrist is. You want to know who the Antichrist is? I'll show you. Because the Bible clearly and plainly, inexplicably, with no confusion of any kind, your King James Bible, and you'll only find it in a King James Bible. If you have an NIV Bible, don't even bother looking in this one up, because you're not going to find it. And if you have an NIV Bible or an ESV Bible or any of those garbage Bibles, why don't you throw it into your recycle bin and go to BibleBeliever.com, click on the free link, and we will replace your Bible at no charge. First John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists whereby we know that it's the last time. John 17:12, Jesus talking, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Jesus answered in John 13:26, Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it, and when he dipped the sop, S-O-P, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, John 13:26. Well, here we have Judas in the act of betrayal. And it is a stunning example of why we only use the King James Bible. Jesus is talking about handing a sop to somebody and then dipping it in a dish. Anybody who has ever spent time with Italian people who can cook know exactly what a sop is. Back in high school, I had a buddy named Andy, and his mom used to make what Italians call gravy, If you're not Italian, you call it sauce. You call it spaghetti sauce. And that pot of gravy would simmer on the stove of my friend's mother's house for hours. And when it got close to being done, Andy's mother would give me a fresh piece of Italian bread, and she would tell me to dip it into the pot, sop up the gravy, and taste it. Now do you see what a sop is? A sop is a piece of bread for dipping in sauce or olive oil. The Jewish people did that. The NIV Bible removes the word sop and replaces it with the word bread. And in doing so, throws one of the biggest prophecy clues right out the window. Yes, a sop is a piece of bread, but it is much, much more than that. What is a sop? S-O-P, son of perdition. Bam! After 23 years of knowing this and teaching this to people, it still sends chills down my spine. Do you know why your King James Bible says that Judas Iscariot dipped the sop in the dish? Because there's only two people in the entire Bible that are called the son of perdition. John 17:12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, S-O-P. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Turn to Acts chapter 1. The apostle Paul says that the man of sin is going to be revealed. And this is where it gets really, really good. Acts 1:25. That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. You put all those verses together, and what do you got? You got Judas Iscariot, the son of perdition, betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, and at the moment of the rapture, the man of sin will be revealed. Now, in our opinion, and I stress that this is our opinion, we believe that Emmanuel Macron just might be the biblical man of sin. And people ask me all the time, how would that work? Well, Judas Iscariot has been cooling his heels. Well, actually, there's nothing cool about where he is. But you understand the expression. Judas Iscariot has been cooling his heels in an area that the Bible refers to as his own place. And he's been there for the last 2,000 years. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the pre-tribulation rapture, shall not come except there come a falling away first. Paula White, Benny Hinn, Mike Murdoch, Kenneth Copeland, Perry Stone, Jim Baker, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, comma, the rapture takes place, and now the man of sin becomes the son of perdition. You remember what happened in the Gospel of John? Turn to John chapter 13, I think. You want to see the pre-trib rapture in John 13? I'll show you. John 13. Let's start reading in verse 25. John 13, 25. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is, to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we need, have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Now look at the next verse. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. The 11 disciples are in the upper room with Jesus Christ. The man of sin, Judas Iscariot, he had been the man of sin the whole time. Judas Iscariot never believed the Lord Jesus Christ. He was never saved. He never believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He never believed on him. And the Bible says that when he received the sop, he went immediately out, and it was night. That's a picture of the pre-tribulation rapture. The man of sin is revealed, and immediately the church is up, and the Antichrist is down and out for a seven-year period. And it's right there in John chapter 13, verses 30 and 31. And that's how it's going to go in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. There's a falling away that's already happened. We're waiting for the man of sin to be revealed. That's the moment in John 13 where Judas takes the sop. Satan enters into him. He becomes the son of perdition. And immediately he is separated from the church. That is what is being shown in type in John chapter 13. There is no doubt about that. There is no question about that. And there you have what's going to take place when the rapture happens. The man of sin will be revealed. The church will be taken up, just like the 11 disciples were in the upper room, U-P-P-E-R, room. And the moment that Satan enters into the man of sin, they are forever separated, the church and the son of perdition. And that's exactly what's happening in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. And you can bank on it. It's a guarantee. Valerie is asking, does God choose the man of sin or does Satan? God chooses. We're almost out of time, but I want to answer that question. Turn to Isaiah chapter 10. Turn to Isaiah chapter 10 and look at verses 5 and 6. Valerie was asking, does Satan pick or does God pick? Isaiah 10:5, O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger and the staff in their hand is my indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, the Jewish people, and against the people of my wrath, the Jewish people. Will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire of the streets? It's all God. And Satan is just doing what he is told to do. And for seven short years, he's going to have control of everything. And with that, we've come to the end of our time tonight. I told you, We were going to keep it light and have some fun and learn some Bible at the same time. Please keep Annetta in your prayers. I really want to see God do a mighty work with her. Please keep our camp meeting weekend in your prayers. And as I said this morning, if you want to come and you're able to come, but you, for whatever reason, you can't afford the price of the ticket, send me an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com and we'll get you a ticket. People have donated money towards that. Don't let that stop you. And but please pray that God will be all over our camp meeting weekend, and that people will get the blessing that they come for. And God will bring in the people that he wants to have there and will keep out the people that he does not. And we're going to ask God to take control of the whole thing. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being part of the NTEB global family of Bible believers. Lord willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow. We got a big podcast for you. We got so much to talk about. Do you realize that right now they're getting ready to get rid of the leaders in China? He just had a stroke. They're getting ready to get rid of Putin. They're already talking about the coup. And here in America, we're getting ready to talk to get rid of Joe Biden. You think it's a coincidence that the three most powerful nations on the face of the earth are right now going through regime change? We got a lot to talk about. Lord willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow, noon Eastern time, for the Prophecy News Podcast. Have a great night, everybody.
Jesus told his disciples of things to come. He would be persecuted, beaten and mocked. The Son of Man would die on the cross, but he wouldn't stay dead, and he won't stay gone. Is coming,
Jesus is coming
to take us home,
to take us home.
By his blood he has bought me,
his blood has bought me,
and his word he has taught me,
his word has taught me.
He didn't stay dead,
he didn't stay dead,
and he won't stay gone,
and he won't stay gone.
Do you believe that tonight? He's coming back.
In the Bible we're told he surely shall come. Like the thief in the night with the trump of God. The King of all kings who paid the cost didn't stay dead. Is coming,
Jesus is coming
to take us home,
to take us home.
By his blood he has bought me,
his blood has bought me,
and his word he has taught me,
his word has taught me.
He didn't stay dead,
he didn't stay dead,
and he won't stay gone,
and he won't stay gone.
He didn't stay dead,
he didn't stay dead,
and he won't stay gone.
Coming
to take us home,
to take
us whole. By his blood he has bought me.
His blood has bought me.
And his word he has taught me.
His word has taught me.
He didn't stay dead.
He didn't stay dead.
And he won't stay gone.
And he won't stay gone.
He didn't stay dead.
He didn't stay dead.
And he won't stay gone.
Won't stay gone.